Almost ready. Here we go. I'd like to welcome everybody here. It looks like we have people back from events, campers of different sorts. Good to have you guys back. I know that a lot of you got back yesterday, and if any of you nod off or start dipping your head, it's okay. You're exhausted. But it's good to have you all back anyway. If you're a guest here today, we're glad you're here. My name is Mike Duffield, and I serve as an elder for the congregation here. I hope that none of us have been too much affected by the ongoing fires and smoke. I know that that can cause real problems for a lot of people, but I hope that hasn't been too much for you. Calvin, who is our minister, a regular minister, he's on vacation, and he'll be back on August 25th. So next week, we're going to be listening to Norm Hoffman as he preaches. So today, what about today? What will your answer be? It was a good song. Today, we're going to talk about specks and logs, about pigs and dogs. Do you know where we are? We're going to be in Matthew 7. Matthew 7. And I've titled this lesson, IMHO, In My Humble Opinion. And we'll talk about what that means in a little bit. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells and is talking to the disciples, the people that he has as his followers. And he's giving them all of the foundational things that they need to get along as his disciples. So let's just read the passage first, get a little context, and then we'll talk about what it means. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 7, judge not, that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Prior to this passage, Jesus brings a message to them about the value of having treasure in heaven. He talks about the importance of having a clear eye so that you can receive the light of God, and then how he cares for every bit of your life, and that should relieve your anxieties. These teachings all are focused on what it takes and what reminds us to focus on God himself. Keep that focus. After this passage, the next thing that we see Jesus teaching on is he wants them to ask, to seek, and to knock so that they can receive, find, and enter into the blessing of him who gives generously. And tucked in between those two things, we have these six verses. So let's begin at the beginning. Judge not, that you be not judged. The verb tense here is a command. If you've been doing this, stop it. Right now. You can almost hear your mother in that, can't you? Stop judging now so you won't be judged. This is a fact You will be judged if you do this action. And then it says, with that phrasing, the judgment is not optional. It is going to happen. So the question is, can we do this, really? Can we avoid judging? Is that really an option? Well, let's talk about a little bit about what it means to judge. And to do that, the best thing to do is to go to the source. Strong's definition of words is one I use. The word in Greek is krino. And listen to what it means. Properly, it means to distinguish, to decide. Okay? By implication, to try, to condemn, and to punish. Now we get into the legal realm. We're looking at a passage about who we are as people. That's the kind of judging he's talking about. He's talking about the kind of judgment that we presume to lord over others. In other words, don't condemn. It's a strong wording, and there's a purpose for that. If you don't keep your eye on God, condemning others is easy. It comes quickly to you. God has a tendency to humble when you keep your eye on him, and you won't be doing that. The idea here is that we're looking at a legal statement. Here's the problem. We like to make judgment calls. And the caveat for all of that is we think we're good at it, but we're not. We're lousy judges. We're terrible. And yet in our own minds, I can make that judgment call. I know what should happen in this case. I know the destiny of so-and-so. But look at verse 2. Verse 2 says something interesting. With the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Jesus first says, don't judge. And then he says, when you do, because he knows that we will, you will be condemned in the same way. It's a threat. And it's a promise. These are not optional things. So when we practice the art of judging people, we need to be very, very, very cautious. The best thing we can do is stop. That's the best thing we can do. You really don't want that to come back on you. The disciples hearing this understood it. In fact, James, as he's writing a letter to the churches, he points out that he understood it very well. James chapter 2, verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. James isn't the only one who understood this. Paul always has to get involved in these things. But here he is showing up. In chapter 14 of Romans, which is, by the way, a very complex book. Romans chapter 14, there's an argument going on, and for some reason the church in Rome has decided that people who are vegetarians and people who eat meat have different priorities, and they're going to deal with it themselves, right? We'll tell them what's right and what's wrong. Paul says this in verse 4 of chapter 14. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Question we ought to ask ourselves. As the chapter goes on, they argue about the weeks and the meaning of the days and the holidays. One day is better than another because, I don't know, it is. Jesus has taught them, and Paul reminds them that they've got to pay attention sometimes. Verse 13, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. If we spend our time judging people, we're effectively saying, this is the thing that you have to adhere to before you can do the next thing. Jesus says, no, you've now created a stumbling block. Stop it. Don't do that. And then he tells in verse 15 why it matters, why we have to be this way. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, in this case, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. All that we do as we judge, if it's not done in love, is wrong. That's it. It is wrong. Paul understands that. Back in Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus is giving this to the disciples, he's basically saying, in your mind, you think that you are legally right. But if you're not loving, you're wrong. So the question becomes, do we never, ever judge? Right? I mean, it seems as though there are times that you should make a judgment call. You should be able to do that. If you care about someone and you see that something they're doing is harmful, you need to make a judgment about whether or not you should act on that because you want to help them. And that's a good thing in and of itself. But recognize that even that may come back on you again. Let's go to the next section of the passage. This is a unique way of thinking about things, but think about it this way. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or for some people a beam, or for some people a plank, whichever it is, it doesn't matter. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. This is classic Jewish rabbinical teaching. Jesus is saying nothing explicitly. He is forcing them by using riddles, parables, and stories to do something nobody likes to do. And that is to think, to meditate, to ponder, to consider, to work out for yourself what the message is going to be. And it takes time. But look at what he's saying here in a basic sense. Jesus says we see flaws in someone else, but can't see the thing that's even worse in ourselves. We are petty enough to see the speck in someone else's eye which to me is impossible to begin with. But we can't see the beam in our own eye. We are goofed up. It's an obvious and a judgmental attitude that we oftentimes embrace. The problem is the spirit of judgment is obvious to everyone and helpful to no one. In social media, if you write the words or the letters IMHO, in my humble opinion, there's usually something that follows about some topic or whatever's being talked about. But in social media, people don't always say what they really mean. Oftentimes, the people who write IMHO are saying, in my humble opinion, which you aren't able to understand, this is what I really mean. So we see that it's very easy to adopt that judgmental attitude about anything, any situation that's going on. Jesus underscores the whole thinking here in verse 5. You hypocrite, gloves are off, full fight. Okay? He calls them names. You hypocrite. I like the way the New Testament for Everyone translates this. This is a translation by N.T. Wright. And he says, because this is really direct. He says, you're just play acting. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly enough to take the splinter out of your neighbor's eye. You're just play acting. When we make judgments, when we decide that we're the judge, we are pretending that we are better. We are pretending that we are stronger, that we are more capable, that understand better, that we're more knowledgeable. Why, I understand so much that you can't even understand it in any sense. I can't even describe it to you. Can you imagine the audacity and the arrogance? And yet we do this all the time. We make these assumptions. If we really want to help somebody, things have got to be done differently. If I see that somebody is hurting, if I see a habit that people have adopted or someone has adopted, if I see a behavior or a repeated thought in conversation that comes up and it's negative, that should cause us concern. But handling that probably means something more like, why is it that you're doing this? Where did this come from? Are you okay? You don't attack. You don't give a judgment call and tell them they need to fix it right now. And I know how, right? And all of that does, it identifies what the speck is or what the problem is. It doesn't solve the problem, even though we think we've done it. And doing that in a gentle way can be helpful. Doing that can lead someone to a little introspection, and they can be encouraged and find answers at times. But here's the story. We still need to pay attention to the verses before Matthew 7. Before I talk to someone else, I need to make sure I'm right with God. I need to make sure that I've got my stuff together. Paul understands this as he does so many things, and he makes it very clear what we're supposed to be doing in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Concerning the Lord's Supper, he says, let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He doesn't say, I'm going to condemn or judge everybody who's taking part in the Lord's Supper. He says, instead, turn that focus around and examine yourself. Look at yourself and the things that you're doing. Look at yourself and see what it is that you're thinking. Why does he say that? In verse 29, he clarifies of the other. It is good to want to help people. We should want to give of ourselves and be a blessing to others. But notice how Jesus finishes the thought here. He says, take the log out so you can see the speck. But he doesn't say anything after that. He doesn't say, take the log out so you can remove their speck yourself. He doesn't tell us to do that. Why? Why not? I mean, now you've got the log out of your eye, you're capable. But would you really want someone poking their finger in your eye, trying to get something out of it? It doesn't make sense. Sometimes the best thing and the most healing thing we can do is stand back. Maybe I could be generous by helping them understand the problem they've got. Many of us can do that and probably should do that, and that's good and can be healthy. But when we do withhold, sometimes that means that we have to slowly figure out the best way to talk to people. And the problem we have with this kind of thing is it's counterintuitive. Our first impulse when we see a problem is to fix it. I've got to fix it. I can do that. I'll take care of it right now. When it comes to other people that have a problem, don't. Don't do that. Because sometimes you have the very same problem and you can't see it. And it needs to be dealt with you first. You need to take the medicine so then you're healthy enough to help somebody else. It's a backwards way of thinking. And what you'll discover is if you start doing this, if this becomes the new habit that you have, you will have better relationships with people than you've ever had before. You'll have a relationship that is genuine, that reflects the fact that you withheld and then came to them gently and was actually able to help them. And perhaps it was they who did the diagnosis. Jesus tells us to take the beam out of our eyes so we can see clearly. The reality is, maybe our eye is clear, but should we be the one doing the fixing? And my answer to that is sometimes. It is sometimes. My ability to judge other people's problems is very, very, very flawed. It is not good. If I can stop and reflect the number of times that I end up helping somebody out, at least thinking I'm helping somebody out, is going to be reduced because I will have spent a little time thinking and considering their needs rather than my own abilities. We love to do that stuff. So the question is this: does Jesus not expect us to judge anything at all, ever? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Verse 6, do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Oof. In a sense, he's saying, stop doing these things. What is he telling them to stop doing? He's asking them to discern, to think about. We have to figure out who the dogs are, who let them out, and who the pigs are. Remember that in Jesus' time, in the time that he's reading and giving this stuff to them, for most people, dogs were wild, They were unclean, they were despised, they were not domesticated pets. And the scriptures often use the term dogs to characterize the Gentiles. So we'll see that used over and over and over again. Pigs, what about pigs? Well, the law of Moses said, don't. Pigs were forbidden, the law of Moses. You did not eat them, you did not raise them. They were unclean. They were wild and they were vicious. You did not deal with them at all. Archaeologists use pig bones as an ethnic marker to discern whether Jews or Gentiles stayed at the site. Jesus tells the disciples, be aware of who you're sharing with. What is holy and pearls represent the good news of the kingdom. Now, the pigs and the dogs don't represent all Gentiles, but we're supposed to see them as anyone who rejects and turns against the person bringing them the good news. Okay? What that means, we're going to have to interact with some pigs and dogs sometimes. And that's okay. But we are called to judge when and at what point we need to stop offering the thing that we have to them. It's a hard one. It's not an absolute prohibition, because that would mean we wouldn't share the gospel with anybody that we didn't already know. That's not the point. The point is to be wise, to ask God to help you make that judgment and to understand that. You're not obligated to share the gospel with somebody who refuses to hear you, who refuses to understand or try to understand anything you're bringing to them. If you've done that, if you've offered it to them, then you're done. You have to make the judgment call at some point that is no longer productive. Holy things and dogs, pearls and pigs should not be put together. In other words, we need to know what's valuable. We need to understand what's holy. We need to understand what represents those pearls that we have. And if somebody can't appreciate them, then we need to judge at some point that they don't need and cannot and will not receive those from us. That's the kind of judgment that we do. Jim, you can come up now if you're ready. So what's the takeaway in all of this? Well, stop condemning others. It'll come back to you. Do I judge or do I not judge? It depends. You have to take the time to figure out the situation. When you care for people, you need to do the thing that you need to do to help them. But remember, you've got to pull on all the resources you have before you decide you're going to fix it. You have to pull on those things. You have to start in prayer. You have to be graceful and be sensitive to who they are and their situation. You have to live a life that's examined. You can't just go in willy-nilly without thinking at all about who God is and how God affects you. You're going to need to tell your story. It's going to have to show up. And first, make sure that that beam is no longer in your eye. Get that stuff out of you. Take care of it. Ask God for wisdom, as James says. Don't assume you know what they need. That's perhaps the hardest. When we make judgment calls on people, we so often assume that I know exactly what'll fix their problem. I do, I can do it. But the call that we have is to be loving and to be kind. Judge wisely and offer holy things. Offer holy things. And if they're rejected, then they are rejected. Calvin has talked about this extensively. When we talk about the whole idea of discipleship, we're talking about getting ourselves ready and to being on a path that means that when times come for judgments to be made, we can wisely make them because we're already doing the things that need to be done. And then last week, he talked about the very thing that Jesus taught here. We need to be spiritually mature before we pass judgment on people. That's the hardest one. But sometimes that means that in our exuberance to fix things, we may not actually have their lives at our heart. We may be thinking about how well I could fix this and what kind of a patch I can bring. Following this passage, Jesus continues to teach to his disciples, ask, seek, and knock. And the point is this, God will answer if you do these things, having prepared the way you need to prepare. Well, I hope we've examined a little bit of one of Jesus' teachings today about judging, and I hope it's helped you. I would ask that God would bless all of you and keep you on the day and in the days to come. Our tradition is that as we wrap up sermon time, we will offer gospel and offer the opportunity for baptism. We do that now. It's an invitation. If you have prayer needs, and you're ready to confess Jesus as Lord, if you're ready to be baptized, please do come forward as we stand and sing the song. I'll be standing up here.